The ApeCast is back.
Yes, yes. We took a break.
It's been a month?
We took a month off.
I was afraid we don't remember how to talk.
Well, we took a month off, and we're not going to get deep into this, but we took a month off because you were having some issues.
Well, I'm getting divorced.
Yes.
So that's an issue. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's been a lot going on.
It's and to be fair, this has been going on for how many months now?
Enough.
A lot.
Been going on for enough
months. Like this was last fall.
Yeah.
That this dropped.
Yeah.
And so you've been kind of hanging on as best you can, and then we kind of hit that February where we're literally. I was like, hey, let's ApeCast. Can we do it now? No. Can we do it now? No, I got a date. No, can we do it now? No, I can't sleep. And I was like, all right, you know what? Let's put it on pause. We've never done that before. And then when I fucking get there, you can't escape me.
I'm Don Hall.
And I'm David Himmel.
And this is the Literate ApeCast.
Uses bad words. If you don't like bad words, maybe shouldn't listen to it.
All right.
Welcome home.
Yes, we are now recording from my new fortress of solitude. Here in, I don't know if it's like not uptown, it's not Ravenswood, it's not Buena Park, it's like in between. It's a technically Ravenswood apartment. I love it. Moved in yesterday. I just have to share with you that I had everything I owned in a U-Haul, drove to Springfield, got a shitty hotel room, which is actually a nice hotel room. I was surprised for $65 at a I don't even know what it was, Quality Inn, but it was good.
It's a quality.
Yeah, it's quality. And then drove here yesterday, got here about 9:30, realized immediately after you and Joe and Bob and Scott Whitehair had all offered to help me move. I was like, no, it's a first floor apartment. This isn't going to be hard, except that this first floor apartment is on the second floor. With those twisty fucking Chicago back alley goddamn stairs. And I just was like, no, I can't fucking call any of these guys right now, last minute. So I'm just going to do it. You know, I carried a fucking full-size recliner on my back up a flight of stairs. So, you know.
You're a beast.
You know, I was like, all right, I'm impressed with myself.
Yeah.
It takes a lot at this point for me to be impressed with myself. But yes, I am.
Well, yeah, because... What is left to surprise you with?
Yeah, really, really. You know, 58 years old.
58 years old. You
dragging a fucking couch up a flight of stairs by himself. I'm feeling. It's not heavy. It's not just heavy.
It's
huge.
But it's not light.
Yeah.
It's a couch.
Yeah, and that's heavy. That fucking...
A recliner. Yeah. But look, it's here and you got it in a good spot. And
the place is starting to look like my place.
Yeah.
I've got my Snake Plissken.
Yep.
My Tyler Durden. Walter Kolchek.
Is that who that is? That's Tyler Durden?
Yeah, that's those
I
are.
I never knew who that was. I thought that was James Dean.
No, that's Tyler Durden. Those are Allison King. She used to do bad cult paintings. I don't know if she still does, but she painted that one for me and the other one for Dana, and I kept them both. Because go fuck yourself. And then the devil mask is actually a gift from Chuck Palahniuk.
A gift from Chuck Palahniuk?
Yeah.
I don't know that story.
Tyler Green and I interviewed Chuck at a reading in Hoffman Estates or something for WBEZ, and we just got along, you know, he and I just got along, and all of a sudden, after it was about 2 weeks after the interview, he had just come out with, what's the name of the book? It is called, in fact, this is the Damned. And this is an author's copy. And he sent me an author's copy of Damned and that devil mask. And I was like, that was cool as shit. So I carry it around. I mean, you can see it's got a little bit of wear and tear on it. But I've had that for a long time.
That's awesome.
So yeah, we're slowly but surely getting all the stuff together.
Yeah, it looks good.
And I have to say, it's weird.
It's weird that you live at
4435 and a half.
Which
is, I don't know. It's not my
you
job.
Sent me, because I asked what your address was. You sent me the address, 4435.5 1E, whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's a typo. So he's at 4435. So I come here, I buzz 1E. No answer. So I buzz it again and I hold it longer. I'm like, come on, dickhead. You know? And this girl picks up, hello. It's like, hi. She said, who is this? I said, it's David. Who's this? She goes, I think you have the wrong apartment. I'm like, okay, sorry. And then I call you. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I said, it is 0.5.
It's 0.5.
4435.
This
point
make
five.
Friends with this girl because she's going to get a lot of your mail.
Yeah. That's cool. That's cool. Yes, but so I got to say it's weird because, it's not like the last 5 years have been erased.
5 years?
I left 5 years ago. I left Chicago 5 years ago, went to Vegas.
No.
Got the divorce. Yeah,
2019 was 5 years ago?
2019 was 5 years. It's 2024,
yeah,
dude.
Jesus Christ.
In fact, it's to the month. I mean, I left February of 2019, so it's like almost to the month. And, I left. And then I went to Kansas for a year and a half and helped with my mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm back. And it is surreal that I now live here again. I mean, I'm thrilled. Don't get me wrong. I'm fucking jacked. I mean, I was riding the Montrose bus. And I must look like a fucking retard because I'm just like, there's some garbage. There's some random graffiti. There's some really ugly people, but different kind of ugly than Wichita. It's like, oh, this is the greatest. I'm thrilled.
Yeah. Well, and the ApeCast is back.
Yes. We took a break.
It's been a month?
We took a month off.
Because we don't remember how to talk.
Well, we took a month off and we're not going to get deep into this, but we took a month off because you were having some issues.
Well, I'm getting divorced.
Yes.
So that's an issue. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's been a lot going on.
And to be fair, this has been going on for how many months now?
Enough.
A lot.
Been going on for enough
months. Like this was last fall.
Yeah.
That this dropped.
Yeah.
And so you've been kind of hanging on as best you can. And then we kind of hit that February where we're literally, I was like, hey, let's ApeCast. Can we do it now? No. Can we do it now? No, I got a date. No, can we do it now? No, I can't sleep. And I was like, all right, you know what? Let's put it on pause. We've never done that before. And then when I fucking get there, you can't escape me.
Right.
I will fucking find you and record.
I've been between... everything's just been messy.
Yeah.
This
divorce.
You know, and work has been weird. But the divorce didn't come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It wasn't a bad marriage. Just, people are unhappy.
Yeah.
And you could probably go back to a couple episodes and hear some of that.
If you were to listen to any random fucking thing in the last 2 years, you could go, oh, there's a dot and another breadcrumb.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
So it's been, I hit a wall, and that wall was a black hole into an abyss of self-loathing and self-doubt and disappointment and extra misery. And just,
it's been hard.
It's been hard.
Yeah.
It's been a bad, tough road for young David.
Yes. And I'm the kind of friend, I remember this. I remember this when you told me, I asked you, I said, how long do you need?
Yeah.
And you knew exactly what I was talking about. So you said 3 weeks. And so for 3 weeks, I treated you like a chick.
Mm-hmm.
All I did was listen. I didn't try to solve your problems. I gave you no advice. I just listened to you and agreed with and empathized with your feelings. And then after 3 weeks,
yep,
I became Don Hall again.
Yep.
And at one point, I remember, and this is a couple months into it, you were like, dude, I know you're right. but I just need you to listen and agree with me. And I said, dude, I love you. I ain't that friend.
Well, I don't think
you
I got said friends agree with like me. That. You, I don't think I said agree with me.
Yeah.
Well, no, what I said was, I just need you to listen. Like, I just need to express.
Yes, and that, and you know, and I did that for 3 weeks, but that's, you've got lots of friends that will treat you like a little bitch. I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy. That's what I've been divorced 3 times. Why? Because I'm not that guy. If you tell me a problem, I'm going to try to figure it out for you. I can't help myself. And it's just who I am.
And that's great. Like that's, you know,
but sometimes that's not the friend you need.
Part of my struggle with this is, and I'm starting to pull myself up, but like, I'm so quick to just sit in the shit.
Yeah.
And let it wash over me and then just kind of like let it calm down and then figure it out. But like, I can't do that because the shit just keeps building and building.
And you're still living together.
Yeah. And we're still living together.
I mean, you know, that's, you're not divorced yet and you're still, there's no separation.
No.
You're still living together in the same house, trying to navigate it. You're both dating. It's like, this is a shit nightmare. Show. This is a shit show.
It's horrible.
And it, like, I think I told you yesterday on the phone, it's like, I understand that. I understand the feeling because that last 4 months in Vegas, I lived 25 feet from a woman who was fucking anything and everything she could find. And I, like I said, I think I told you this, I walked by the house, went her apartment one day, take out garbage, and I can hear the sounds of my ex-wife fucking a dude. And I mean, I collapsed. I was like, this is the worst. So I hid. I literally hid in that fucking one-bedroom apartment in Vegas for 4 fucking months. My dad still, to this day, is like, what the fuck were you thinking? And I was like, I did not want to, I didn't want to break a lease. I didn't want to have anybody chasing after me. I wanted no bills. I wanted to end my time in Vegas because from my perspective, she gets Nevada. Mm-hmm. So I want to have no ties. I just want to go.
Yeah.
But I want to make sure it's clean. So that's why I did it. But I drank too much and I listened to a lot of really awful songs. I wrote a book.
Mm-hmm. So awful songs.
Well, you know, I mean,
what awful songs are you listening to?
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but when Jen and I didn't really do it so much for Dana, but I definitely created a playlist, a heartbreak playlist of shit that was just so fucking overwrought and teenage girl sad.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. But I remember when Jen and I got divorced. You know, she came, said she wanted a divorce. She'd been cheating and she decided that she wanted him and not me. And that was fine. I said, all right, well, then we're getting a divorce. And I told her, unlike David Himmel, I said, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
And go to your sister's. And she did. And I remember sitting in the apartment in the middle of the day in a fucking bathrobe, drinking coffee, chain smoking cigarettes and weeping openly as I listened to No Doubt's Don't Speak over and over. I mean, I don't even know how long I did it, but it just on loop. And it was just, so you get a little, get a little teenage girl in you, and we all have it. And you get very overwrought.
I made a playlist called 7 Year Itch. Because Katie and I were married 7 years.
Yep.
And it's got a lot of teenage girl stuff. It's, it's a great playlist.
Yeah.
It's hard to, it's songs I love and already, but it's like, it's hard to listen to. I can listen to the songs, but if I listen to the playlist,
it just breaks your fucking heart. It just breaks your fucking heart. Yeah. No, music has it. That was one of the things is when I realized I was coming back to Chicago, I have my, obviously you do, but I do playlists. And for a long time, my playlist was just called Rando Cool. And it just kind of, I just added and subtracted as I wanted to. And then I did a Wichita playlist, and that's a combination of sort of relaxed, you're healing kind of shit, and then stuff where it's like, you done me wrong, and I'm stuck here in this fucking hellhole kind of shit. But when I realized I was coming back to Chicago, I created Chicago Redux, and what was funny about it wasn't intentional until it was, it's all really angry, like chick rock.
Oh yeah, because you were in like the Riot Girl stuff.
Man, so, yeah. I'm telling you, it is. They are just like what's the Daisy Grenade and Dead Sarah, and I mean, and they're great, and
Dead
I love
Sarah's awesome,
but yeah. They're angry, and it's like. It's kind of you done me wrong, but go fuck you.
Yes.
Love bites, but so do I. It's like, all right, this makes me good. So that's been fun. So I'm interested to see what the playlist will be now that I am in Chicago. Mm-hmm.
That's something I want to start doing again is I used to make, you know, mixtape. Who Among Us Hasn't?
Like, of a certain age,
I stopped doing that, like in the age of streaming, because, you know, I stopped burning CDs and mixtapes. Obviously, like I'm not making tapes. I need to start doing that again.
Yeah, it's
like,
fun.
It's music is my fucking love
it's
language
so
anyway.
It's fun, man.
Like, why aren't I doing this? Why aren't I
DJing
this shit?
And I'll just share this because I, you know, they're that last kind of week, as my dad said, well, I guess you're unemployed now. I was no longer working at the radio station. I was mostly packed. I was like, all right, so what am I going to do? And so I started watching movies, and I had forgotten how good this fucking movie was, and it totally, I watched Almost Famous.
Yeah.
And I was like, because I read somewhere, it was like, a lot of it is like one of the 10 best screenplays ever written. And I was like, I think I'm going to watch that. And I mean, I walked away, and it's like, yeah, fucking music, man.
Yeah.
And so, So it's, that's been a lot of fun. And I also know that given, once I get my Prius, because I'm going to go back to Wichita for one just next weekend to pick my Prius up, and I'm going to drive a lot more. I'm going to Kansas a lot more than I did before, and I'm also not bringing a fucking wife or a girlfriend. It's just going to be me. Maybe you, if you want to come for
a
weekend.
I'll be your wife or girlfriend.
Yeah. You know, Joe's been there, spent Christmas with us a couple times. I mean, it's like, so, but that's what I like about that 12-hour trip.
Yeah.
It's just crank the fucking tunes.
Yep.
You know, crank the tunes, sing along, just look at the highway. It's just, I mean, it is. It's life is a highway. Oh, I mean,
I hate that fucking
Well,
song,
yeah,
though.
but that's sort of the ethos of it. Yeah. It's like, yeah, that's fun.
My, and I got, Harry knows this now. Whenever we go on a road trip, the song that I start every road trip with is Ventura Highway, America, Ventura Highway. Because that, to me, I started doing this in Vegas because Ventura Highway, it's just such a desert feeling song.
Yeah.
And it just, yeah. So like every road trip, I start with that song, and then I figure out what's the rest of the playlist going to be.
I always start with either American Pie or Hotel
fuck
California.
Fuck you. It's all right. Fuck you. God damn it. God fucking damn it. I know we've talked about how much I fucking hate.
You
the
hate
Eagles.
Both those songs. So what?
Have we talked on the ApeCast about how much why I hate American Pie?
Yes. Yes, we've had two episodes where you've talked about how much you hate American Pie.
And I'm still on some PR email list for Don Henley. Jesus, who wrote American Pie? Don McLean.
Yes.
I don't know how I got on this list, and I don't know why I haven't unsubscribed from it. I just, like, just unsubscribe,
because
David.
Secretly you love the song.
I think it's because I secretly like to be annoyed. Like, what dumb shit is this fucker pushing now? And he's got another song, a new album coming out called, like, American Boy or something like that. And just, like, fuck you. Like,
you just don't like it. All right, I get
musically,
it.
Musically, it's not bad. Like, Hotel California, I think, is just a boring musical slog.
Yeah.
And I hate Don Henley's voice.
Yeah.
Okay, fuck you, Don Henley.
We've had that conversation a couple times, too, yes.
American Pie, musically, I like it. I like the length. I think like long songs
are
fine.
Yeah, yeah.
I like kind of like there's a story to it. But the problem with the story is that it's fucking nonsense.
Dude.
His metaphors are all mixed up. And the whole point is what? The music's fucking...
We've had this conversation. You've said
okay,
this.
Okay, yeah.
Said
just,
this.
I'm fucking angry.
And my only reason that I love it is it's about... The day the music died.
But it didn't die.
Well, no, but that's the thing, is that is my birthday.
What? Yeah, it was. Yeah, that's right.
February 3rd was right. When Bopper and Buddy Holly, they died. Now, granted, it was before I was born.
Yeah.
But that's
that
one of the reasons.
59?
That's 59? I think it's like 59, yeah. But that's what I think. When I hear that song, I think of sort of the legacy of my birth, which is weird and perhaps a bit narcissistic, but okay, you know, that's fine. He didn't write the song for fucking me.
No.
But I can take it for me. I can say it is kind of like my song. But, yeah, so I'm excited about Chicago. I can't wait yeah, you know, we're going to do some Littered Ape shit.
Yeah, Littered Ape's coming back.
That's going to be fun. We're going to get you fully divorced.
Yep.
You'll go on dates, and I might be a wingman, but I'm not dating anyone for any reason. It's one of the best parts about this apartment, honestly.
It's not conducive.
This is not an apartment to impress a girl. This is an apartment for me to have my fortress of solitude and go fuck yourself. I don't care what anybody thinks about this apartment except for me.
Yeah.
I like it. It's got a big ass kitchen for a studio apartment. I mean, it's a converted studio because it's got two rooms, which you don't have with studio apartments. Right. But the kitchen for a studio is huge. I mean, it's a big kitchen if it weren't. It was a one bedroom, that's a big ass kitchen. Big
kitchen, which is good because you're cooking now.
Because I'm coming back to Chicago to get a culinary certificate at some point. So I'm going to start taking some chopping block classes before then and get some shit going on. And I love it. So
the new lives are upon us.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty jacked about all of this stuff. Yeah, it's been like I said, it's weird being here. Joe came over last night. We went to an Italian restaurant around the corner, and it was a pricey restaurant. He was like, "I'm paying," but he was very funny because he was like, "Well, where do you want to eat?" I said, "I don't give a shit." He goes, "Well, dude, we're celebrating you coming back to Chicago. You should pick a place to eat." I said, "Dude, any place here, the shittiest restaurant in all of Chicago is going to be more interesting and exciting than anything in Wichita, Kansas."
But doesn't Wichita have like an Applebee's?
Yeah, they got a Texas Roadhouse too. The thing is,
hello, Texas Roadhouse.
Mom, the night before I left, Mom was like, "We're going to Texas Roadhouse." And so, yeah, and I mean, you know, you get the biscuits and then bread and butter, and then, you know, I got a chicken fried steak that was not as good as I think this is the thing that I'm starting to do is as I'm really starting to interrogate food, I'm looking at it, like, how's it made and what flavors, and I'm really kind of thinking about that. I'm finding that less and less, I mean, and, you know, I can eat anything,
yeah,
but less and less appeals to me.
Yeah.
You know, and it's literally like last night, Joe took me to this place, and it's a nice little neighborhood Italian restaurant. And obviously they take care. So I ordered, it was basically spaghetti and meatballs because I was like, "All right, I want to try that." And I'm kind of in that mood. And I had been fucking carrying heavy shit all day long and hadn't eaten. So I was like, "I want some pasta." And I could tell in the eating, first of all, this isn't fresh pasta. I could tell it wasn't fresh pasta.
Oh, you're going to be a fucking
second.
Foodie.
Second of all, the marinara had no, it just didn't have any flavor. Mm-hmm. It was a marinara.
Tasted like red.
Yeah, it's just like red sauce. And the meatballs, which that's what you're, that's the star of the dish. Mushy, not well seasoned, no crust on it at all. I mean, it was just like, oh, this sucks.
Something,
I mean,
Swedish meatballs. You don't want that in a spaghetti meatballs.
You want a crispy outside and a really savory. You want to have a good amount of salt. Maybe some thyme. You just put some fucking spice in it. It's like these are flavorless meatballs with just mushy consistency. Obviously, not homemade pasta.
Yeah,
and the sauce kind of sucked. But the thing about it is, I'm not going to tell Joe this is a really crappy bowl of stuff.
Well, let's hope Joe doesn't listen to this episode. Because,
well, he doesn't listen to the Apecast. You know, who? Come on. No, that was one of the things.
Yeah, has anyone missed us? Like, is this affecting anybody's
life? Nobody cares. But no, Joe and I. It was very funny because he came over here and my dad bought me a bottle of Whistle Pig, Piggyback.
Yeah.
To start the journey. And so he came over, went and got some beer and just sat here, you know, and just kind of, and all of a sudden, it was, Joe is now, because I know, that's the thing, is you don't have it as much as Joe has. Joe has had to endure apologizing for being my friend for as long as he's been my friend, you know? And he loves me. I know it. We're like brothers. However, I can see he knows that I'm going to stir shit up. I can't help it. It's just who I am. And he was kind of trying to figure out how much shit I was going to stir up, you know? And at one point I made the comment, like I said earlier, is that, you know, that you had asked me, you know, to treat you like a chick. And he kind of took umbrage with that, you know, and he said, you know, that's, I think that's a little, I said, you think that's misogynist? He goes, well, yeah, I said.
I mean, it is.
No, it actually is not. That is not at all misogynist.
Okay, go on.
Misogynist is hatred of women. That is the definition of misogyny. I do not hate women. I love women. I'm terrified of them.
Yeah.
I'm terrible with them, but that doesn't mean I hate them. That does not also mean it's not true that most women, for the most part, generalization, yeah, of course, yeah, would rather have a man listen
and solve
and empathize issue, yeah, than try to solve the problem.
Yeah.
I totally get that. And Joe said, well, sometimes I just want to just sound off. I don't want to try to solve my problem. I said, well, that's a very feminine trait.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with having
there
feminine traits.
There is nothing wrong with
there's
that.
There's a benefit
but
to having
don't
feminine traits.
Knee-jerk me. So then we come over here and we're having, you know, we're he's trying, and I loved it because we hadn't really had a sit down like, let's talk about the issues. But one of the things I did say is that I think will be a change in my approach. And maybe it's, I don't know if it's that I'm older or I literally emotionally had my ass completely handed to me a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, I'm kind of at the point where I'm going to limit my expression of strong opinions about things that I know are going to piss people off. I'm going to limit it to my platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Littered Ape, my Substack, this. As an example, I had a young lady, well, she's not young anymore, friend of mine from back when I was in Chicago who called me when I was in Wichita. She said, so I hear you're coming back to Chicago. I said, I am. And so we talked a little bit. And then she said, well, I'm curious. God. I said, okay. She goes, how do you feel about the war in Gaza?
Okay.
And I went, I think I said, I don't really have an opinion. Yeah. And that was not the right answer.
Yep.
Because the right answer is, I agree with you on everything. I don't even know where she stood. She's obviously very, very pro-Palestinian and very anti-Israel. Fine. And I said, you know, that's...
Can we just throw a caveat into that, though, or clarification? Her being anti-Israel or pro-Palestinian is not anti-Semitic.
No.
What she's probably saying, like most reasonable people,
yeah,
peace, two-party state or two states,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, no, she's not. You know, she's not.
If I just,
yeah, but the thing is, I would not give her an answer of where I stood.
Yeah,
and it really bothered her. I mean, and she tried, and she jumped in to try to give me the conviction. And I listened to her. I didn't say anything, which is rare,
mm-hmm,
but I just was like, let her do her thing. And at the end of it, I said, okay, yeah. I said, I'm sorry, I just don't care. I said, I'm far more concerned about the, if genocide is on my mind, it's the genocide in Myanmar that I think is far more egregious and far worse than what's going on in Gaza.
You know, every time that the word, I hear the word Myanmar, I think of Miramax.
Well, movies. Yeah, and see.
Every time.
Yeah, well, that's because the president of Miramar is jerking off in plants. Right. It's what's going on every time.
Wait, No,
Harvey Weinstein
was jerking off in plants.
No, Louis C.K., right? No, he asked women to watch him jerk off. Oh. Harvey Weinstein jerked off in plants. Yeah, yeah.
Jesus. Yeah, I can't keep track of all the jerking.
There's a lot of jerking, man. So much There's jerking. A lot of spanking going on. Speaking of spanking.
Okay, where's this going?
Have you been spanking a lot?
Have I been spanking a lot?
You're getting divorced. You're not having sex.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't think any more than usual. Maybe a little more than usual.
Okay.
But. I don't know. It's not a.
It's not a preoccupation with you?
No.
Yeah.
I think it's about as it's always been. It's 6-7 times a day.
There you go. You know, it's like, what is it? That's the Matthew McConaughey and Wolf of Wall Street. You jerk off all the time. Yeah. That's it. It clears your mind. Yeah. It doesn't clear my mind. Just puts me to sleep. But, you know, whatever. Maybe that's why I'm not married anymore.
Maybe.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. Now I'm just thinking about
jerking off. Don't do it right now.
But like jerking off.
Because you're not Louis C.K. and I don't want to watch
it. For the news about Gaza. What's going on in Gaza?
I don't think I'm going to jerk off to that.
No, probably not.
No.
Yeah, I don't think that'll do it for me.
I did think it was funny when you came into my apartment. The very first thing you saw was my screensaver, which is just a parade of lovely naked women. Yeah. And you called me an old pervert.
Yeah.
And I don't think looking at naked women is perverted at all. I think if I was going to parks and finding women
sure.
and jerking off, God. That's perverted. That's perverted.
That would be problematic.
But having
yeah.
a screensaver of a lot of yeah. lovely naked women.
And they're all lovely. They're each all, one.
That's right. And
everyone.
These, yeah. And these are all art photographers. Like yeah. photographers. And it's like, okay. And you know what? There is nothing wrong with me looking at pictures of naked women. That's I enjoy that. It's lovely and I like it. And once in a while, it inspires a bit of spank.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong nothing with wrong that. With
perfectly human.
You know, there's just a line. There's yeah. just a line that people want to cross.
Yeah, right?
Look at it. Oh, it's great.
I like her tattoos.
And now, Worsack of the News.
All right, we did not prepare a Rorschach.
Let's do a...
But we're going to do a roulette. We're going to do... We've never done this before. We're going to do a roulette Rorschach where we're just randomly choosing Rorschachs based on whatever news is going on. All right? So your first Rorschach... this is hard, man. Because we have time... All right, so I'm just going to read it. Here is your first Rorschach from The Hollywood Reporter by Carly Thomas. Billie Eilish says dream about Christian Bale made her realize she had to break up with boyfriend. The subhead, I woke up and came to my senses, the Grammy-winning singer quipped in a recent interview.
Whatever gets you there, whatever gets you to the point where you realize that you're not living the life the way you want to live it, if it's a dream about Christian Bale, great. If it is your person telling you that they've been sleeping with other people for money for the last 2.5 years behind your back, whatever gets you there.
Walk the walk, yeah.
As long as she's not like, I think it would be weird if she was like, I had a dream about Christian Bale and I left my boyfriend to go be with Christian Bale. That would be weird.
That's different, but yeah. That's not what, no, she wasn't like
go
going
get it,
for
Billy. Go get it.
You know.
Great.
Whatever.
I think bad like for the boyfriend is like fuck Christian Bale.
Like I think, and it's one of the things because I like Billie Eilish and I like Taylor Swift, but I think they are mirror images of each other because both write songs that are basically the diary of very sad middle school girls. Taylor Swift is the really pissed off middle school girl, yeah. And Billie Eilish is the one who cuts herself.
Yeah, that's
so,
better.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the best music though. Is all that teenage diary, all that.
Don't speak.
Yeah. What is Paul McCartney's greatest song? Is it from his latest album?
No.
Or was it something he did when he was in his 20s and 30s?
Truth.
Yeah.
You don't think Band on the Run is one, though?
Oh, I do. I 100%
yeah,
do.
Yeah, yeah. He was older in 20s then.
Well, he was in his 30s in Wings.
I guess that's true. I guess that's true. All right, give me one.
All right. Well, you brought her up. So let's talk about her.
All right.
Taylor Swift reflects on family ties to Singapore during Eras Tour stop. Quote, it means the world.
She has family ties in Singapore? Or did she watch the show, Family Ties?
Yeah, apparently Singapore just got family ties in their TV. No.
Yeah, I was going to say, all right.
So the subhead is, quote, my mom actually spent a lot of her childhood with her mom and dad and sister growing up in Singapore.
I have, yeah, okay, it's great. That's I don't give a shit. All right, in your next...
When the Rorschachs aren't vetted.
Yeah, they're not vetted. It's just like, all right, this is from Reuters for you. This is by Nathan Lane, but not the Nathan Lane of Broadway fame, I'm pretty sure. Insight, police reports, adultery claims, inside the tumult, ripping Michigan Republicans apart.
Wait, say it again? Adultery? What?
Police report, insight, colon, police reports adultery claims inside the tumult ripping Michigan Republicans apart.
So it sounds like some Michigan Republicans are stepping out on their spouses, and that's a bad look because family values?
You don't know.
Basically,
the fight to oust Christina Caramo, elected as Republican Party chair in Michigan last year, has become increasingly bitter and personal, leaving deep divisions in the local party, according to 36 party members who spoke to Reuters. At the center of the battle is Bree McGonagall, long-ass weird name. The 44-year-old member of the Republican State Committee, a governing board for the party in Michigan, helped organize a January 6th vote by some committee members to remove Caramo. She blames Caramo, a fiery grassroots activist who backs Trump's false claims of election, for stifling dissent within the party, a lack of transparency and decision. But none of this has anything to do with adultery. I'm just looking at it.
Weird.
Oh, Caramo fought back by saying, yeah, well, you fuck around on your husband. That's basically, that's hysterical.
That's just, yeah, well, you fuck around on your husband. Yeah, well, you're shorter in person.
Yeah, you're spanking to little women.
All right. This is from NPR. By Dee Parvez. U.S. begins airdropping food in Gaza, but it's a less than ideal means of aid delivery.
It's so funny because I just looked at Axios and U.S. makes first airdrop in Gaza. The thing about it is, I heard, maybe when I was on the road, that the ordinary, because Gaza is always requiring humanitarian aid. Yeah. You know, it's just because Israel's jamming them shut.
Yep.
But usually they get like 500 trucks, and they've been getting like a dozen. Yeah. So fucking people are starving to death. Jordan was doing airdrops. But the thing about airdrops, and this is what I thought was fascinating about the report I listened to, is that Jordan is having a hard time with airdrops because you can't just fly over Gaza and just drop shit.
Right.
You know, because maybe you're going to smash somebody's house. Maybe you just dropped it out in the middle of the fucking desert and nobody's getting to it. It's like there's a whole thing. Then the U.S. is joining in, and that's a logistics nightmare.
It's a logistics nightmare, and they're saying it's not enough. And
of course not.
Israel has to stop.
Israel has to stop. No question about this, but this reminds me of the Sam Kinison bit from the 80s. And this is what I would say. I love this. So at the time, it was the 80s, it was the Ethiopians, but it was like these starving children, people living in a region where they're starving.
Yeah.
And his advice was, and he did the scream, and I'm not going to do it, but basically is, go to where the food is, fuckers.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, if you're living in Gaza, there ain't no fucking food there. If you want food, fucking head to Jersey. You know what I mean? I'm saying go someplace where I'm kidding. You know.
Yeah. No, go. Yeah.
I just thought it was I thought that was a.
In other exciting. Wait, no, it's your turn.
It is my turn.
Yeah, your turn.
Hold on. Well, this actually is probably, I don't know if this is news, but I am going to, just because of your soon-to-be single status, in Axios, Gabrielle Ferri joins Bumble as head of global communications. Bumble has appointed Slack alum Gabrielle Ferri as vice president global. It matters because she is part of a broader leadership change taking place at Bumble. Basically, Bumble is going through a transformation as it enters its second decade, and we need to bring they're just trying to make Bumble better, so they're hiring a Slack person, because apparently Slack was much more successful than fucking Bumble, especially at getting people fired and fucking.
Yeah.
Slack is a big deal. That was, anybody who was on Slack was probably going to get fired.
Yeah.
And probably was going to get fired for trying to fuck somebody on Slack.
Yeah, that's weird.
So Bumble,
I have not used Bumble yet, so I have no idea what that.
What have you used?
Hinge was the main
one. Tell me, because you got to remember, the time I used that kind of shit was many, 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 many years ago. And for me, I don't know the new ones, but at the time, Match.com was the way to find somebody that would match with you. OkCupid was for a quick hookup.
Mm-hmm.
And eHarmony is if you just really wanted to fuck a Christian woman. So that's what I remember.
I used to be so proud of myself because I would say, like, the Katie and I met each other right when the dating apps were kicking off.
Yeah, yeah.
Really getting some speed. And was so lucky that I just never had to deal with that shit. And now here I am.
So what are you on right now? For, I mean, because anybody that's listening is looking to find David's profile, match up with him, get some of that hot,
yeah,
seven spank a dick, a day dick. Let's yeah.
I had Tinder, which was trash.
Okay, why was it trash?
It was the best way to put it is it, the majority of women I was seeing, and let me just say, like, I wasn't like into it, you know, like I wasn't really spending time like curating my profile or like taking time to like really find women to find clever ways to say hi to them or whatever. It was a lot of just distraction. But Tinder to me was a lot of women named Barb who lived in Palatine. And you know exactly what Barb from Palatine looks like.
Dude, that's such a clear, clean description without even saying a word.
And nothing against Barb from Palatine, but Barb from Palatine ain't my vibe.
Yeah.
So Hinge is a little different. It's a little...
Are you fat phobic?
No.
Okay. No, you aren't. I've seen the women you date.
I'm not fat phobic. I mean...
No, you're a fat lover. You like them big.
You're like Leonardo
DiCaprio in Killers of the Flower Moon, where you just like him a little pillowy, a little but fat, I also, juicy.
But I also like him not like that. I like a lot of things.
Well, yeah, but do you end up with some chunky broads? No, that's just your thing. That's your thing. You're a skinny dude. You gotta have. Otherwise, if the ice age comes, you're gonna die because you have no fat on your body. And
it's just like sex is just bones clicking.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You like to have a pillow. You're like a woman shaped like a pillow.
I like a little shape.
Yeah,
I like a little shape. But I'm not going for porkers and. And there's nothing wrong with those. Like, again, just not... You're doing this on purpose.
I am.
What I found, though, there is so much basic bullshit. If I have to read one more fucking profile that's like, simple pleasures, a morning cup of coffee.
Oh, fuck off.
Fuck off.
That's not interesting. It's like saying, I want to be a good writer. That's a non-goal.
No.
That's a fucking non-goal. Come on.
And
be specific. If you like... hazelnut flavored coffee, you're fucked in the head, but at least it's specific.
Oh, hazelnut's good though.
Yeah, but hazelnut's good, but the hazelnut flavored, you know what I'm talking about?
I like one of my special treats that I get in the summertime is I'll get like go to Starbucks and if I have like an extra $45 below, I'll get a mocha hazelnut frappuccino. It's a fucking milkshake.
And the minute you do it, you grow breasts and your penis hides like a turtle.
It all goes right to my thighs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Right to my pelvic pouch. Reduces my dick size by 3 inches.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
God, I was with this girl the other night. We were having sex.
Yes.
And she was like, oh yeah, baby, you know, give me 6 inches and hurt me. So I fucked her twice, threw the lamp at her. I love that joke. It's so stupid.
Whose joke is that?
Mine.
That's your joke. Yes. It's a good joke. Okay.
For years I've been saying it.
That's a great joke.
It's so stupid. Hinge is... Hinge is better, but it's still like the fucking boring people out there. Like, this year I want to travel more. Okay.
So what do you say?
What do you want me to do with that?
So you're criticizing him. What does your profile say? What are your interesting hobbies? What are the things you know, obviously you don't like to drink coffee. You like to drink the gayest coffee you can find.
I like my coffee like I like some of my women. Black and bitter.
I was going to say fat and compliant, but okay.
Okay, so here's one. Here's this girl. This is a Sarah with an H. Because I don't like Sarahs with no H. I feel like that's lazy.
Oh, no. Sarah's without an H are the best.
Finish writing your name.
No. They're dumb.
It's not a deal breaker for me, but...
Yeah, but...
So here's a picture. She's standing in front of a boats, which is a big sign. If I see women on, like, boats or water,
she's
like,
cute. Yep. That's a little too obviously posy, but okay.
That's okay. She's 44, 5'4", which is nice. St. Charles. Yeah, she's okay. Yeah, she surfs. Great. She geeks out on travel and nature. Cool. Oh, she's got like a hell of a tattoo. Nice.
Not bad.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I geek out on travel and nature.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's just not specific enough. It's not interesting.
No, it's, yeah.
It's generic.
All right. What does mine say?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. I want to know if you're going to criticize. I'll criticize all I want.
All right. So the prompt is, we'll get along if your taste, your taste in music is as storied as you are.
Oh, that's a good one. That's pretty good.
You believe dark humor provides the light?
Nah. Okay.
What do you mean, nah?
I just think it's too...
We like dark humor. If
yes,
you don't like dark humor,
but
fuck off.
Provides
I'm going to make 9/11 jokes.
But that's what you should say.
I'm going to make 9/11 jokes?
If you don't like dark humor, you're not going to like my 9/11 jokes or my shit that I talk about Auschwitz. The thing is, it brings the light. That loses me. It feels like you're trying too hard.
But it does provide the light. Like
it did, that sounds like fucking, it sounds like a Hallmark.
Then swipe left.
That's okay. Well, I'm totally swiping left if I read that shit.
All right, you're into the Oxford comma and not putting periods at the end of bullet points.
Okay, then, that means you're like a Nazi when it comes to punctuation. That's good. Then they'll know.
You appreciate the rule of threes, which is the fourth bullet point that I added.
The rule of threes. Okay, yeah.
That's the joke.
I got the joke. It's not as good as the throwing a lamp at her joke, but it's a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should change it to... Well, one thing I want to do is like create a completely false account.
I'll bet you...
Where I just get like lizard brain, like, we'll get along if you like getting your box eaten every morning before you go to work.
That might be a little more explicit than... Because do you really want to eat somebody's box every morning before they go to work?
If it's a box worth eating and it's a girl... Worth pleasing before work, yes.
Nah, I'd rather just have a McMuffin.
Well, if she's Irish, isn't that kind of like a McMuffin?
There are six things you should do this week.
My first thing this week is a watch. It's on Netflix. I think you mentioned it. You said something about it earlier. No. Anyway, The Greatest Night in Pop.
Ah,
the documentary
yes.
about We Are the World.
We've talked
about
that.
How that came
this,
together. That,
not, yeah.
That is such a fucking fun documentary. And because if you weren't alive during We Are the World, it's a good insight into this like huge fucking moment. And it was a fucking huge
It was life-changing. The only thing I can compare it to was when Roots.
Yeah.
Because the whole world stopped and people don't understand this, but Roots happened. It was a miniseries, but you couldn't record it. There was no VCR, so you couldn't, there was no pausing, there was no streaming. So if you missed it on Thursday night or whenever it came on,
it's gone.
If you fucking, you're never going to, and it's like, so everybody in the world was doing it. It was the same thing with We in the World because it was so unique.
Yeah.
Nothing like it before.
The best part about it though is Lionel Richie, Lionel Richie's impression of Michael Jackson. When he talks, like, cause Michael and Lionel wrote the song together. And when he's talking about telling the story about Michael and he does the perfect Michael Jackson voice. And it's not in a funny way. Nope. It's not making fun of him.
It's not
over the top. Hee hee.
Yeah. It's just dead on.
Fucking yeah. on.
Absolutely.
Lionel, this, it's so fucking perfect. And Lionel Richie is just so funny. And like, it's,
he's a really funny
guy.
Yeah.
Fucking,
yeah.
Like, I might have to start watching, what is he on American Idol?
I don't know.
I've never watched American Idol.
I don't know. I watched American Idol first season.
I love Lionel Richie. I grew up with his music. Like my dad, every Sunday was spinning Lionel Richie records. Fucking love Lionel. Yeah, it's just, it's a fun,
it's good.
Really
I agree with you. My first thing is also a watch. It is, and I don't think I've talked about this before, but it's one of the Academy Award winning films, or nominated films, but it's not one that's going to get the Academy Award, and it's kind of a dark horse. It is Celine Song's Past Lives.
Okay.
It is two childs, I mean, this is the log line. Two childhood sweethearts, after decades apart, are reunited for one fateful week in New York as they confront notions of destiny, love, and the choices that make a life in this heart-rending modern romance. And what it's beautiful about it is it's really good, is it's about this little girl who grew up in Korea, and her little friend, her boy, the guy, but they were just inseparable. Mm-hmm. And then her family immigrates to the United States, and they lose contact. Hmm. And 12 years later, he finds her through her father's Facebook, I think. And they start doing, it's not FaceTime, it's the Microsoft version. That's what
Teams?
The, huh? No, not Teams. Before Zoom? That. No, the before Zoom.
Skype?
Skype, thank you. Yeah. I couldn't think of the name of it. They Skype from Seoul, Korea to New York. And they do this for a little while. And you can tell that they've really missed each other. And there is something going on.
Yeah.
But then she's not going to Seoul. He's not coming to New York. And so she cuts it off. She meets a guy at an artist retreat. She's a writer. And they get married. Jump cut to the guy finally coming from Seoul, Korea to New York.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It's fucking lovely.
And then she had a dream about Christian Bale.
Totally dumped her husband. Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
No, it's a great movie. It's such a lovely... You don't see movies made like this anymore. It's very romantic. It's very sad, but it's also... It's just profound. I just really enjoyed it a whole lot, so I highly recommend it.
My next thing is on... It's a watch on Amazon Prime. Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty cute.
It was fun.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah.
I like Donald Glover as an actor. Yeah. I like... what's her name? Maya Erskine. I think she was great. Yeah, it was fun. And I love the ending.
So I've got to the ending, so don't tell me. Yeah.
It's a great ending.
Yeah, yeah. I just got started with it, so yeah.
So yeah, but yeah, it's like, what, 8 episodes?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe? And, you know, It's fun. My second thing is a read. It is in the Free Press. Who is reading even for anymore? Which I still don't understand that. Headline? Who is reading even for anymore? I don't know what that headline means.
Who is reading even for anymore?
Thank you. There's no comma. Okay.
That's not a great headline.
Thank you. But it was written by Kat Rosenfeld. The lead is, there are now two types of readers, the ones quietly enjoying a book and the ones for whom books are content fodder. Here's a paragraph from it, just to give you an idea. What's clear is that reading has been transformed from a private activity to a public one, something you do for an audience. Literature, and especially literature read by young people, has been a flashpoint in the culture war since before the first outraged parent demanded that Judy Blume's Forever be stripped from library shelves. But in the age of Goodreads review bombing, YA Twitter piles on, bad art friends, and the bizarro universe of internecine literary conflicts known as book talk, what used to be a niche form of drama has gone mainstream in the digital age. It's a really good article, despite the fact that I could not figure out how to say the goddamn headline.
My third thing is a read in The Atlantic. So we take a month off, nothing fucking changes.
Nothing changes, but that's okay. That's the love of it.
The Literate Ape is all about watching TV mostly.
Yeah, it really is. It's just about watching TV and film. Yeah.
This is by David Graham in The Atlantic. Mitch McConnell surrenders to Trump.
Yeah.
Which is just, I love David Graham, great political writer. But yeah, it's basically just, Mitch McConnell's been so effective in the worst ways.
Oh man,
But he lost.
Yeah.
The crazies
took over.
Fucking won.
Yeah, they took over his party.
And we're in fucking trouble.
I don't think we're in trouble.
Like, Mitch McConnell's bad fucking news, but at least he was reliable.
Well, and the thing is, at least he won. None of the crazies win.
No.
They don't win. So I'm glad he's gone.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he
lost. I'm glad he's gone. Like, I mean, he's not gone yet.
He's the reason. He's the reason. Not Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Mitch McConnell's the fucking reason we have a super conservative majority on the Supreme Court. Yeah. Not Donald Trump. Yeah. So, I mean, my final thing is it was an interesting exercise. I was just looking for something to watch again that week before I moved. And I remembered seeing, Kevin Costner and Woody Harrelson in The Highwaymen, which was a 2019 film about the guys that caught Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh, I don't know this one.
It's really good. It's sort of a, you know, it's like a buddy pick, but it's set, you know, but it's really about the guy that actually caught and gunned down.
Yeah.
Bonnie and Clyde, he plays that character. And he's a hard ass, and Woody Harrelson is Woody Harrelson. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, it's like,
yeah.
But it's really fun to watch him. But I started to watch it and then I stopped and I went, wait a minute. So I went back and I rented 1968's Bonnie and Clyde with mm-hmm. Faye Dunaway and Warren Beatty.
Yeah.
And I went, I'm going to watch this first. And then I'm going to watch The Highwaymen. And it's really, it sounds like a stupid thing, but it's a super fun 1-2 punch because in the first one, they're heroes.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the most beautiful people you're ever going to see in a movie screen.
Yeah.
And I mean, young Faye Dunaway, Jesus fucking Christ, is she hot. But they're heroes to everybody, right? And so that the mythos and that movie really leans into that. Then jump cut 50 years later, and you've got Kevin Costner playing the guy that caught him, and it's dealing with the fact that they were this famous couple, and they were these heroes, but they were fucking murdering pieces of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a really neat exercise. I mean, you can do it or not, but I recommend it. It's a neat exercise to go, this is what we're being told. This is what's really happening. How do we reconcile those things? I just thought it was really fun. And it was a fun thing. And I'm sure there are other examples, but that was the example but I actually recommend The Highwaymen. But if you watch it, watch Bonnie and Clyde first. It's too fun.
It's funny you say that because I started watching Chinatown.
Oh yeah.
Faye Dunaway's in Chinatown.
Yeah. Yeah.
And was also thinking, and I, not that long ago, I watched Mommy Dearest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a weird film.
That is a dark, fucked up film.
I've never seen it, but I didn't realize it was as
dark and fucked up.
Dark as fucked up. Yeah. And that it was written by her daughter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Like.
Oh, yeah.
Your prostitute book is one thing, but the takedown of takedowns?
This was, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, I'm serious. Well, I didn't name her in my book.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. I know. It's Mommy Dearest is rough.
Mommy Dearest is like a full on. I'm like a
Faye
you.
Dunaway kick.
Yeah. So
I'll do Chinatown. Then I want to watch Network because I haven't watched the fucking Network in.
You know, I have a theory. And when you watch Network, tell me if my theory is right because I may have to watch it. Is that in Network, Howard Beale loses his mind and uses his platform to scream at everybody and tell them how it's all bullshit and I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And I was thinking the other day that Network could never happen now because all of social media is everybody being Howard Beale.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's Howard Beale. And there's nobody to say, you're all fucking insane.
Yeah.
And you're all fucking insane. It's not as good an argument as I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yep.
Look at your windows. I'm like, they're all fucking... That's all Twitter is people going, look at their windows, yelling at the top of it, I'm mad as hell. Come on.
I don't go to Twitter. I go to Twitter if somebody sends me a link.
Yeah,
I do not.
All social media is like that. That's why I'm uncancelable. That's why it's so much fun coming back to Chicago. And the people that didn't like me when I left, they can't get at me unless they actually have to come up to me in my face.
Yeah.
And they're afraid of that because I will beat them up.
Speaking of,
just drop that and you just move right on. Okay.
This girl that I'm dating, I like her. Cool chick. She invited me. She's like, hey, are you free March 11th? And I was like, yeah, what's up? She's like, I've got two tickets to the Moth.
Outstanding.
To the Grand Slam.
Well,
and I was like, oh, she's like, do you know what this is? And I was like, Oh, I'm familiar with the Grand Salami.
Yeah, yeah, I know exactly what that is.
I performed at the Grand Salami.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's like, what? I was like, oh, yeah. She's like, oh, I love this stuff. And she was saying the other day, like, we went out and she was texting me. She's like, I love, you know, I didn't really, like, I know you like telling stories, but I didn't realize how much I like telling stories. And I really like sharing my stories with you. And I was like, yeah, you're a great storyteller. And not a great storyteller in the storytelling.
If you could see how he gestured when he said that.
Maybe she is a great storyteller. But like when she tells her stories, there's a clear beginning, middle, and end. They're entertaining. I can follow it. The last woman I was with.
Not your wife.
No, my wife.
Okay. Stacy?
Yeah. Well, fuck it, Katie. I told her this in the very beginning. I'm like, I have such a hard time following your stories. You are not good at telling stories. Like, she leaves shit out. She's jumping all over the place. And it's fine. But I'm like, the fuck? So anyway, so I was like, yeah, you know, when my buddy Don is moving back, and when we get our events back up going again, I'll invite one of my storytelling
things. Yeah,
and she was like, you have a storytelling event? And I was like, oh, I just got a whole lot fucking cooler, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there you go. You know, there's a reason I come back to Chicago. It's really just to get you laid.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
The only reason I'm here is so that you can get... So that you can only jerk off 6 times.
That'd be nice.
And then the 7th time is actually with some poon.
Yeah. Poon. And that's the ApeCast.
You can listen to the Literate ApeCast on literateape.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you go to get that delicious podcast experience. If you enjoy the dulcet sounds of two white guys babbling about whatever comes into their stunted brains, leave us a review anywhere that, you know, reviews are left, and share it with someone whom which you have a dubious relationship.
For information about Literate Ape, go to literateape.com, of course, and check out the rest of our podcasts and our years of scribbling. Music on the ApeCast is courtesy of Mike Finopel and Local Motive. You can find them all over Chicago and online at localmotiveband.com.